Eureka, you found us. Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by that Californian extraordinaire, Rod Gantos, principal of Rod Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm. And Craig Sullivan, a fellow Irishman. Vice President, Park West General Contractors. Check Out California is focused on your state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant, innovative, eclectic economy and unique quality of life. So here, those bon vivants, those California hospitality kings. Rod and Craig, hey guys.
Hey, Paul. I don't know, Craig. Should we keep him or should we go for the lady voice?
Go for the bimbo. All right, come on.
Right out of the chute. California.
It's California.
Show.
Come on, you gotta have a blonde.
No. Gosh. You know, I will tell you, though, I like the fact that I might actually be working on my moves, you know, on this show now with this music.
Cool music. Thanks
for filling in, Paul. Nicely done, then you know, as usual, had to put your foot in it. Right? As some of you may have just suffered listening to Paul, this is a new show. It's called Check Out California, and it is your key to California hospitality. Because, as we know, there's a lot of people that are involved in this industry. You know, you might be a user, as in a guest to a facility, or you may be involved in the tourism industry, or you may be involved in the service provision side of it, or construction, or a multitude. I mean, there is just, it really is so many facets of this industry, right?
There's so many moving parts. You're absolutely right about that, Rod. It goes on and on from the franchise opportunities with the Marriott's, Hilton's, Hyatt's, IHG's of the world,
right,
to construction, design, all the various OTAs or booking agencies that you have online, and those type of things, plus the entertainment factor as well. I mean, if you look at the hospitality industry, there's some really good correlations between that and the entertainment industry.
And hospitality, it's not just the building; it's also the activity takes place inside it. You know,
right.
That programming is constantly changing.
Yes, it
you
is.
Say right. So it's kind of interesting. I think, out of all possible industries, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to reach for something here so I could actually connect to the internet so I could share this with people. But if you're listening to us, I'm not going to be able to do it right now. We're working out the bugs this show. So we didn't have a guest here because we didn't want to look like a bunch of don't know what we're doing, right? So we never really do because Paul's got our back over there. But if you're listening to us on octalkradio.net right now, go to the Facebook page for Check Out California, and you can also get our makeshift feed, video feed, on there as
Facebook,
well, and
yes,
you can see us, and we're waving at you. But it's fascinating. We talk about jokingly, and to a certain extent, I think we have a sense of pride that as California goes, so does the nation.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely. You look at the EPA was copied after California standards, and it still is to a large degree, unless somebody in D.C. decides to gut it even more so. But it is. It's economic.
So we'll still be here as an example for when people wake up and realize they need to do it.
We will have clean air. The rest of the country won't. We'll have clean water.
So come on down and check out California.
Check out California. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And we tend to, I think, even with trends, right? And I'm not talking just in terms of sort of the world and the realm maybe I live in a little bit more, which is the aesthetics. But I think just in general, I mean, programming, how you go about it, the construction aspect of it, the funding aspect of it. There's a sort of there's an interesting combination has always been in California. I think it's part of the culture and legacy of California, that is entrepreneurial, innovative. You didn't grow up two blocks down and lived with your family, and it's right, the go west young man kind of attitude, the seek your fortune kind of attitude. That thing, I think, is to a certain extent is still very much alive and well in California. We reinvent it every few years, but I think it's still very much part of our fabric. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. It's in our DNA. Every few years, because of economic changes or any number of things. it's changing. And if you look at hotel trends, you look at, you know, what you're seeing in the five-star resorts and those in the boutique hotels in particular,
yeah,
a lot of that is going to translate down to the housing industry and what you're going to start seeing in the homes.
Isn't that the truth, right? Yeah.
So every year I go to the Hospitality Design Expo, and you know, it was a bad idea for me to go the other year because I ended up remodeling my house.
Right.
So my house is a living laboratory for hotels. So
I can attest to that. But you know, it's true. I had an example as recent as yesterday. Right. Yesterday, via text and a call, a client of mine basically who's just finishing doing a small remodel on her house in addition, basically says, you know, I'm thinking of changing my furniture, and you know, do you have access to resources that from the people that, you know, the furniture for hotels? And I'm like, yeah,
yes, I do.
I said, I don't know if you want me to show you the price point on it, but okay. And I said, what? Because I joke about that a little bit because the price point is good. Because it's very much run as a business, but when you take those what you would buy in 10,000 pieces and you're now buying two of them, it makes it, you need to be talking to the right person that's going to give you that, what you're associating and aspiring to by having that environment in your home, but to somebody who's not just going to basically go buy that one thing that's going to cost you the equivalent of your car in your garage.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, it's, you know, and I did the same thing with my house. We were renovating a couple of hotels here locally. And I like the tile they were putting in.
Yeah.
So
I'll take some of that.
Yeah. So I tagged onto the order, increased it, paid for it, and had the laborers, when they were done with the hotels, come over and put it in.
So the people that can't have access, like Greg, like, hey, you know, we need flooring for 300 rooms, so could you just add a little bit for my powder? You can contact me. I'll sort you out. But too early for a plug? I think I'm okay, right?
No, you're good.
But truthfully, I mean, just all joking aside, I got a call yesterday that basically said, and I said, well, what hotel was it? And I think it was it. I may miss. I'd have to look at my text, but I think it was the Delano. Right now, so oh yeah, the Delano, and I'm like, okay. So, would you have pictures? No, you know. Well, thank you for, you know, the marketing arm of the Delano. We can look online and basically see what
exactly
the rooms look like, right? But the point is this: I've said this before. I've said it to you. People, I think, purchase, and that includes travel, experience, whatever, not just items per se, right? But they purchase, I think, for two reasons. And it may sound a little jaded, but if you take a minute and really think about it, it comes down to a couple of reasons. One is they purchase as a form of affirmation of something that is important to them, be it
their
economic status, be it their, you know, their involvement in the community, be it whatever. They will purchase, you know, like involvement in the community. They will buy locally. They will support local business. Their purchases, their dollars that they basically speak with on a daily basis, not every 4 years only or every 2 years with their vote, they're basically doing it as an affirmation of what they stand for.
Sure, absolutely they do.
Or an aspiration for where they want to be.
And yeah, in a lot of cases, that's true as well.
Right.
You know, you look at it and, you know, the sense of arrival, I think, plays a lot into that. You see all the homes that are, you know, been under construction in Newport to San Diego in particular. And you look at the amount of new office building that came up at Fashion Island this year.
Right.
Or last year, actually. You look at some of the new hotels that are coming up over in the Anaheim Resort area. You know, are we going to get another coastal hotel in this area? Yeah, we've got a couple of them under construction over in Huntington Beach. But I don't think you're going to see anything like the Montage again, or certainly Terranea up in the old Marineland site up in L.A.
Well, part of it is also the finiteness of the land to be able to do that, which in a way is interesting, right? Because here we are again at that crossroads we talk about, right? To some who, and this applies to all industries, I'm not picking on anybody in particular, or developers or hotel operators, whatever, but in many industries, we get into the cycle of doing everything that we do for 10 years the same way.
Right, yes.
And because the opportunity is there to do it in that manner, the converging realities line up to basically allow you to do it in a certain way. But the danger is that you become a sort of a prisoner of that way and you stop looking beyond, because in 10 years, it is unavoidable, almost like clockwork, that the realities and demographics, the market conditions, whatever, the resources, sources for funding, whatever, changes, and now you got to basically think outside the box again. Properties, mass scale and availability of acreage changes, where people's interest, you know, to vacation changes.
Right.
The nature of what those vacations look like changes. We're having people right now that basically are booking vacations that have a direct connection with volunteerism. They're going to places, for example, where they can spend 10 days or a week with their family working towards some sort of esoteric goal, something that improves the community over there, or plant trees, or, you know, sort of that ecotourism.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. Ten years ago, you tell somebody, tell a kid that to do that, he's like, are you kidding me? I'm staying home. Forget this.
Well, yeah, part of the upside with that is, you know, in the public schools, that's part of the mandatory program for graduation. You have to being of service,
right?
So, you know, and you know, that's probably something that my generation, you know, and yours were at the forefront of, but it wasn't a mandatory thing.
He's being very nice, by the way. He's very, his generation is very much entrenched. Paul's over there smiling from ear to ear, right? It's very much entrenched in that of being of service mentality. I think my generation, I think, to be honest, I think we were overwhelmed by what you guys did, because it's pretty heady. I mean, you guys broke the mold in a way of how you being engaged with in society, with how you basically spoke out. And I tell Paul all the time that, you know, I'm grateful as a late boomer or a boomer wannabe. Actually, I don't think I qualify as a late boomer. Is that you guys really? I stand on the shoulders of giants that came before me, because you made it possible for me not to have to fight as hard to say no. I want to do this out of the box thing.
You know, I think we a lot of us did that, and I'm a late boomer. And you know what? We didn't take it that next step. And that was our fault.
And what was that? What would that next,
you know,
be?
I think we got to a point where we all did a lot of different things, and we helped our communities. We tried to help globally as well, and as you know, but a focus on local is it was more of an emphasis. But we didn't get to do the activism politically that we probably should have. A lot of us made a left turn and went into publicly held corporate America. At the very beginning, when the entrepreneurship with big family-owned companies here in California was starting to go by the wayside.
Yeah.
And we saw that change from knowing everybody on the board of directors by their first name and being able to shake hands with them, to then becoming a cog in the machine.
Right.
And we didn't pick up the torch and really pass it on. So that's on us. I mean, we laid a lot of good groundwork, but I think
to be fair to you guys too, I think it was also you were at a different point in your lives. I mean, you know, you maybe
family money,
you know, making sure there's a roof and food on the table.
Yeah.
So and changes and things of this nature, you know, it sounds strange in a society where we are so instant gratification and instant results oriented, is genuine changes of that nature, genuine paradigm changes in psyche and culture, those happen incrementally.
They do, but you know what? That cycle's getting shorter and it's happening faster. You know, you mentioned just a moment ago about a 10-year cycle. And actually, you know, we're probably at 7. And if you've got a hotel here, let's use the number one tourist destination in California, and that's the Anaheim Resort area.
Yeah.
You look at the hotels over there. You go into any branded hotel, they have what's called a property improvement plan, or PIP, every 4 to 5 years, depending on their occupancy and how the market is and things of that nature. So you're running 90% occupancy at a hotel, and that's a great thing. You're making money hand over fist. You're, you know, adding, you know, cash flow to the bottom line, to your investors and your partners, and, you know, staff's getting raises, the hotel's being improved. But you're also wearing out things a lot quicker. Elevators, carpeting, televisions, you know, it goes on and on. And that design scheme that the brand has now changed their standards, and they want things, they now want a shower system. They want the tubs pulled out. Mm-hmm. They want a shower in there. They want more electrical outlets. Mm-hmm. They want additional soundproofing done. They, you know, and it gets very, very expensive, and it takes a lot of time.
And what's driving those changes for those who don't understand the industry so much? What's driving those changes, Greg? I mean, what usually, not necessarily maybe this period, but that where do what is the catalyst that causes those changes?
Well, let's look at the last cycle. Okay, you had something remarkable happen, and you had Hyatt Hotels go into the select service side of the business. You know, they prior to that they were just full service destination resorts, urban meeting hotels, and hotels attached to conference centers, and then they wanted to select service. So they went ahead
and explain to people that don't know what select service is.
Select service is the Courtyards, the Hampton Inns, the Fairfields of the world, right. The Holiday Inn Expresses, the ones that don't have a full food and beverage outlet. You get your free breakfast in the morning, and there's probably a grab-and-go.
Yeah, grab-and-go coffee counter.
Right, yeah. Minute sundry store, those type of things. So Hyatt decided they wanted to go into that arena, and they did it in a big way. They bought a couple of companies, came up with Hyatt House and Hyatt Place. And, yeah, it was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
They blew them out. They put in a social lobby.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, they noticed the millennials were down there. They didn't want to be in their room locked up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't talking to each other except by texting mm-hmm. or whatever, emails.
But being in a space where you had other people.
Right.
In it. Yeah.
You look at the, you know, Marriott, you know, felt it, understood it, and they completely redid the Courtyard. And they've got a bistro. They've got a social lobby. You look at everything's at different levels. They've got conversation areas, they've got workspaces, they've got community tables.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are the improvements that were demanded, mm-hmm. just like many, many years ago, it was the iron and the ironing board.
Right.
You know, you used to have to call to get that at one point in time. You know, as silly as that sounds today. But there are changes, and it is a lot to do with demographics. I mean, what I wanted at 20,
mm-hmm.
different than 30 and 40, 50 and 60 now. So, you know, it's, you know, so, you know, my generation is probably spending less in the grander picture of things on leisure,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to the destination resorts where if I drop a towel, there's three people trying to pick it up, okay?
Right.
You know, they're charging me $20 for a Coke or a beer and more for a
mixture. By the way, there's a certain amount of that is generational, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's just the cycle of a generation going through aging and changing in focus and interests and realities of their life. Kids, now they're not kids anymore. They're in college. Well, now we got grandkids that you're traveling with because you got the time.
Now it's all changing.
And you and I laugh about how a lot of the hotels that are, you know, focusing, it's almost like, it was really funny, it was like about four or five years where all this conversation was about the incoming boomer generation and how the hotels need to basically accommodate the boomers. And
what did they do?
Three or four years, that's all we talked about. I mean, God knows how much money was spent on research on the boomer impact on the hospitality industry, right?
Right.
And then somehow I blinked and I realized that they didn't do much for boomers, and we're now talking about millennials. So unless all we're doing is basically paying for research, but the hotels themselves now, the new configurations that are happening are gearing towards millennials. Well, the interesting thing about that is if you're talking about millennials, they're the ones that are kind of having kids.
Right.
Right? You're taking all the tubs out of the hotels. All the tubs that are in hotels is where the kids, basically the baby needs to be washed. To a certain extent, what I'm saying is I don't know that we're really reflecting correctly, right? It's kind of this hodgepodge of things, but we're gearing towards millennials. The other thing is, millennials, not only because they have kids, but, you know, generationally, again, the path of a generation, they're not where the money is.
Not yet.
The money is with the boomers.
Well,
for the time being, but who's accommodating the boomer demand?
But the thing that was missed was Gen X and Gen Y.
Oh, my generation, dude. I mean, we're lucky if we get a blimp on the radar screen.
Right. Yeah. And matter of fact, I don't think there was enough in each generation, so they kind of combined them.
Yeah, yeah.
In the stats, but you're right. And those are really the ones that are having
actually. When we
now.
Walk into a place, they go, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Are you with him? Maybe you should go in together because then I can notice you."
Exactly. But if you look at it, you know, there's a heavy focus on the millennials now. And Hilton has got a new product out called True.
And TRU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smaller room, mm-hmm. no closet.
Mm-hmm.
Put the bags under the bed.
The bed.
You know, and there's hooks, not hangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a little bit different. And I kind of look at that and I go, okay, that's great for me when I was in my 20s. Now, if I'm traveling with a girlfriend, wife, kids, not so much. Now they're coming up with a community type room where you've got separate bedrooms and you all have access
like
to a living
area. It's like a dormitory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some different
things going on. That's kind of like your dorm at college, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. The common area.
Or
in the
reality show.
Exactly.
TV, you know,
the Big Brother
summer,
or something.
Right? Yeah.
So what justifies, I mean, we'll just take another extra minute on this. What justifies, how does these decisions get made? I mean, because that's a, you know, we're talking about it very lightly, but that's a lot of financial and commitment. That's a lot of programming commitment,
yeah.
Brand positioning. You would assume that there is a study that basically, when you're looking at going down this path, that justifies the investment over a certain period of time, right?
Yeah. Obviously you've got white papers coming out of the hotel school at Cornell and various other hospitality-focused schools. But you've also got focus groups. Mm-hmm. You know, Marriott's got focus groups going on everything, you know, from paint color to carpeting to, you know, what size TV do we really want? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that, you know, they're in depth. And if you look at the new prototypes that are launched every few years, okay, they have really worked with a lot of designers, a lot of architects. They're working with focus groups. They're nailing it down pretty quickly. Now, is that a good or a bad thing? Does the hotel lose some of its personality? It might.
But what justifies that investment? I mean, are they looking at a return on investment in terms of a concept investment?
Market share,
of a shorter and shorter time return?
Yeah.
So whereas maybe you built a hotel in an urban center or on a resort property, and you were looking at your numbers in terms of a return over
10 or 20 years,
now 20
you're
years.
Looking at 7,
okay.
You know? Less than 10.
Right.
You know, if you look at a lot of our market.
So that's a very interesting shift in the industry.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of people that they come in, they reposition a hotel asset. Now, whether they're changing flags or not or mm-hmm. going to an independent because maybe the location is, you know, it's Ocean Boulevard mm-hmm. in Santa Monica and I don't need a brand
mm-hmm.
and I'm still going to be running 80 to 90% occupancy mm-hmm.
because
of my
location.
Okay. So I can do the boutique hotel there.
Uh-huh.
And you've got the huge wow factor
right.
when you walk in. You've got, you know, a great staff, and it hasn't been homogenized and the same in the San Fernando Valley as it is in
right.
another area in San Diego,
right.
let's say. You've got the best of both worlds.
Well, plus the cost of construction in an area like that is going to be a lot higher, right?
Oh, astronomical.
I mean, if you're going to add another 10% of room count,
right.
That's going to be much more than if you're doing it, like, say, in San Fernando or whatever.
Well, you look at San Francisco right now.
Yeah.
San Francisco proper, to build a hotel, it's a minimum of $1 million a room.
Wow.
So, okay, how do I get my return on investment
Give people a comparison. Like, pick another place.
Oh, you know, if I was to buy, let's say I was going to do a true hotel here, and I've worked out these numbers recently, excluding mm-hmm. the dirt and the entitlement process, which is lengthy, I could do a 96-room true hotel for a little over $8 million, excluding the FF&E component.
Okay.
So let's
give people a little taste. I mean, I think we're coming up on the 2 o'clock here. Let's give people a little taste of what they can expect us to address and talk about, and why California. I mean, we talk about we jokingly said it's the sixth largest economy in the world, but what are these numbers when it comes to California? I know you've got a stack in front
of you. Yeah, I've got them right in front of me. Okay, last year in California, direct travel dollars spent in California was $126.3 billion.
Say that again.
$126.3 billion spent in California.
California alone.
California alone. Now, every time you meet a hotelier, thank them, because the taxes that they're paying helps keep your real estate taxes down. You're not paying for fire, trash, in a lot of cases, the EMTs and other municipal services. We created
It's very true, and there's some communities that are actually very myopic and don't see that.
Right.
And add to that the complexities of Proposition 13, and absolutely, you're right on.
Yeah, it's right on target.
So thank you, everybody who's in the hotel industry.
Yes,
absolutely,
you for my career and well beyond.
Yeah.
But we created almost 1.1 million jobs last year just in the hotel sector.
Wow.
Okay. And That equates to $45.4 million in income, in spending dollars across the state.
That gets filtered back into the economy.
Yeah. And then if you look at in local taxes, there was another $4.9 billion that went to local taxes.
Oh, wow.
Okay? And then there was $5.3 billion that went to our state taxes. And we just had a gas tax. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering why. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we're expecting like a 3.1% increase in 2017. Mm-hmm. The only numbers that are really going down is going to be the international traveling. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the expenses there are decreasing by less than 1%.
Right, and people may say that that's because of the political environment. That may have a little bit to do with it, but I think it also has to do with just the cost expensive traveling.
And I'm leaning more towards the latter on that as well. Yeah. Now, if you look at
the first one is easier to go to completely blame. I'm not saying that it doesn't have something to do with it, but yeah.
But if you look at international tourism was 17.3 million people. We had 17.8 from overseas origins. Now, that's excluding Mexico and Canada.
Right.
Okay, that's the rest of the world. Now, Mexico, we had 7.9 million visitors from Mexico to California.
Yep.
Now, Canada was at 1.5. I'm really kind of curious what the numbers were from Australia, because those numbers have been rising
absolutely
into both from Hawaii and the
Asia
Western
and
U.S.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot there. You know, it's a segment of our state and our economy that is a huge, huge economic engine.
So why do you think going back to the conference, which is the CLIC conference, California?
Lodging and Investment Conference. Yeah.
And you have the other one already dialed in, right, for 2018?
March 8th at the Hilton Irvine John Wayne Airport,
down the street. Yeah. And it's a great venue. It was a one-day event. You sold out.
Sold out year one. We had 232 attendees.
Yeah, you want to talk about a test of whether there's a need? He sold out the first year.
Yeah.
And I think the attendance was very good. I think a lot of people got a lot out of it. And it's just going to get better and better. But let me just ask the obvious question. How is it possible that we have gone this long without having a specific focus on California hospitality?
Well,
why is it that we've gotten lumped in with?
Yeah, there's some really good conferences that are here in California and also one in Arizona, and they're must conferences if you're in the hotel industry.
Give plug them.
One is Jim Butler's Meet the Money from his law firm JMBM. We just had the 27th one, and I think I've been to about 25.
Some of these people we're planning to have on the show as guests. Yeah,
Jim Butler runs the Global Hospitality Group over JMBM, and that is a multi-day national conference, mm-hmm. and it's probably the best debt and equity conference. If you want to get into the meat and potatoes of debt and equity and trends and other things
specifically relevant,
that's
to this
the one
industry,
to go to.
Yeah.
You've also got the ALIS conference, America's Lodging Investment Summit, that kicks off in January, and that is an international conference. You've got everybody from Europe, Asia, South America, the United States. We have roughly 2,700 people all at LA Live for a week. Mm-hmm. And another one that brings a lot of components, Marriott. They unveiled Moxy there a couple of years ago, so all the brands are involved as well.
But these are conferences that are not necessarily focused solely on California.
They're not.
They are just housed or take place in California.
Right. And California is a part of it, obviously. But their focus is national and international. And I sat down with Jim Butler before I went public with CLIC, and said I wanted to do this. And told him the nuances and the differences between his conference and, and he's a sponsor, and JMBM's been a sponsor of CLIC. I'm a sponsor with Meet the Money, and I was on a panel this year.
Yeah, I was going to say you were involved in a panel.
Yeah, so we breathing new life into old assets.
The hotel industry, I would guess a lot of industries, the circle gets smaller and smaller the longer you are in it.
That's true, but, you know, it's always been a case, and I'll give you one example. There's a gentleman who's the head of the Hunter Hotel Group, which is a brokerage firm here in Los Angeles, Danny Gewurz. I met him shortly after he graduated from Pepperdine, and it was kind of a mentor program. I was explaining a lot of things to him. He was working his way up at another hotel brokerage firm out in Malibu and and did really well, then went out on his own. But he got to the point where he had a lot of knowledge, but now it was time to meet people. So he was going to conferences with me and basically hanging out of the belt loop and meeting everybody. Now he's introducing me to people. So
smart. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think a lot of the, I would say old guard, but it's not really, I think, only the age
I'm
factor.
I'm feeling old,
no,
let me tell you.
No. No, you're fine. You're great. And but there is I think some industries that tend to lend themselves more organically to this concept of apprenticeship.
Yeah.
This concept of sort of mentoring somebody through the ranks, right? And I think maybe it's a victim of its own name. You know, if you're in the hospitality industry, you're in the care industry.
Yeah.
And so you got people that you see basically have talent. They basically help promote them from the inside. And basically everybody, you know, what do they say? A rising ocean raises all ships.
All boats.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised by that story. I think that's actually a very positive reflection on the industry that's always been there.
Right. And that's it. I mean, you can go from being the doorman at a hotel to being the CEO at some point in time. And you look at Marriott, they started out selling root beer. And they've got, you know, a global hotel company.
Yeah, it's glitzed and it's wow factored and it's a large property and there's a lot of crystal in the ceiling and all this stuff. But underneath all of it, really, the crux of this industry is care.
Yeah, it's hospitality. It's welcome.
Yeah, it's welcome.
You know? So it's you know, if I hadn't made the transition to hospitality some almost 25 years ago, honestly, I'd probably be selling T-shirts at a kiosk at the Ala Moana Shopping Center in Hawaii. You know, I handled every type of commercial property out there, residential as well.
So what made you go to hospitality? You opened the door, so I'm asking.
You know, my attorney was and is Tushar Patel's attorney, and he is the founder of Tarsadia Investments, which used to be Tarsadia Hotels. And B.U. Patel, his father, really founded Tarsadia Hotels. And I started doing some of their real estate transactions, doing the title insurance and escrow. And we met, and it recharged my batteries. And my little brother that I never had, Drew Hardy, and I became great friends. He was one of the key people in their real estate group, and I taught him how to go through prelims and endorsements and what to ask for and what to try and get eliminated. And I got the equivalent of his Cornell education, you know, while doing that. So it's been a great ride. I love it. You meet the brightest and the best. That's
I agree.
That's how we met. We had a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And we met at a new meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be somebody, I think, you know, you're a member, I'm a member, we should probably get them.
I'm sure they're going to be knocking on our door.
Yeah.
This is very interesting. For me, you know, coming to radio, thanks to the gentleman that's sitting there in the corner a couple of years ago, you know, actually, believe it or not, Paul, when we went out to get our intro done for this show, I looked at the email string that I had for the intros when we did them for the Rad Life. We are almost to the day.
Really?
2 years ago. It's crazy. It's almost to the day 2 years ago, right? And so it's I was new to the radio and I thought, you know, let's do this. And what I find is I find that more happening in sort of a hospitality industry. I agree with you. I feel very fortunate to be and have been involved in this thing since, oh gosh, I think I was involved in it since like at least 98, right? Not as long as you've been in it, but, you know, when somebody airdrops you into the middle of the Indian Ocean on a white desert island, basically, and says, make sure this hotel opens in time for the Christmas party that the invitation's already been sent out to, you're not thinking what color is the wool.
No, you're not.
You're thinking keep your powder dry.
Yeah.
You know, don't fall in the pit on the construction site because somebody didn't cover a hole, right?
Exactly.
And make sure that the ownership basically has chilled champagne. And the alignment of the moon is perfectly correct when they have that party.
All the planets are aligned.
Yeah. Right? But there's something to be said about that because you're right. You meet the brightest. I mean, every industry you meet all kinds of people, but you really meet brightest people. You meet people that are very self-driven.
Yeah.
Right?
Very entrepreneurial.
Right, very entrepreneurial. And even in the corporate structures, and this is sort of the change that happens regularly in this industry. So you have people that grow up through a corporate structure. They have a different take on how they're going to do something. They go off and they're like hang a shingle, and next thing you know, they're putting in the third hotel in 3 years or something, right?
Exactly.
And I think there is an encouragement and a sort of a support that comes out of that. You're a bit of a maverick. You're innovative. You want to go do something differently. We will support that because it is that kind of industry.
It is through and through. And you know, I'm just one of the luckiest people you'll ever hope to meet. It's everybody who's a client has become a friend, and they come to my home, and it's that type of relationship.
Yeah.
And you know, it's currently with Park West, I was with a hotel ownership group.
Mm-hmm.
And management company, and we met. We did some projects together, and you know, we were still talking at the end of them, and you know, it really went well. And mm-hmm. we started doing some investments. They made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and you know, then I went over there, and you know, we've got another big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Ed and Chris and Nancy and Craig and the rest of the team and Frank all over at Park West. I am going to Broughton Hotels next month. So I'm going to be back on the management and ownership side. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be quite a challenge. And they've got a great team over there. You know, Larry and I go back a number of years, and their CFO, Robert Rycroft, and I mm-hmm. do as well. And there's a dynamic there that's you know, just great between the three of us. We've got a shorthand, and then maybe it's because we've been looking at deals together mm-hmm. for a number of years. I understand his management approach. I like his team concept. Larry was one of the powers behind JDV mm-hmm. And then opened up Broughton Hotels. And the dynamics there is something that I really haven't experienced anywhere, and I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to it. So it's going to be quite a thing. But I'm going to miss my crew over at Park West. They've been great, and it's been a wonderful 5 years with them.
Yeah, so. But I think it's a big family, right? I mean, I think
it is.
Just, yeah, it just,
you're we're just, still going to see each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Do stuff.
I mean, that's sort of the part of the nicety about this industry.
Yeah.
Well, we will look forward to having our Alan as our first guest in a couple of weeks.
Yes,
and. Do you want to go? And I want to just remind everybody, we do have a website in the making.
Yep.
So we'll be trying to populate this with all kind of useful information. The show is not limited only on the operational side by any stretch of the imagination. We're going to cover everything. What happens in the back of house, what happens at the porte cochere, the programming that's happening, the actual change and you know, what people are looking for. Heck, we might even have, you know, like a panel discussion between users and providers. You know, there really is we're so excited about how many ways we can take the show to bring you not only the industry, but specifically the industry when it comes to California. Because as everybody knows, you know, there are certain visuals when you think California. Like, I live in San Clemente, and somebody basically halfway across the world, right, nowhere near an ocean. If I told him, oh, I live in a California beach town, what they vision immediately is endless summer and surfboards on cars and all this stuff. So there is a brand that is California. There is a quality of life that is California. There's sort of an aspiration of what is California. And one of the best ambassadors, if you will, that convey that in their own ways and understandings and flavor of California experience is the hotel industry,
yes.
The tourism industry, you know, the people that support it, that make it possible day in, day out, you know, for the people that are working in the facilities, the people that are operating the facilities, funding the facilities. And there's always, would you say that like everything else, but in this industry, there is always a risk factor?
It's always a risk factor.
Right, but there's that's part of actually that, so that's what makes for the kind of caliber of the people that are involved in this industry, I think, is that they're not necessarily risk averse. They're calculated risk, but they actually are willing to do that and put that into the mix with California as an overarching
State of mind.
It's a state of mind.
California state of mind.
So we will look forward to having everybody. We'll have all kinds of bells and whistles going on. Paul's going to have all the technology dialed in. And we will we'll look forward to welcome Alan to the Check Out California radio show.
If you have any questions you want to ask us,
Mr. Craig Sullivan and I can be reached on Facebook, or we can be reached by email at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. And we look forward to having you visit with us again in 2 weeks. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for being a guest listener, a participant in today's inaugural episode of Check Out California. We look forward to having you visit with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through Check Out California's Facebook page or emailing us at checkoutcalifornia, just like it sounds, checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you, so let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you would like to see us cover in the future. Feedback is important for us and the growth of the hospitality industry throughout the great Golden State. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunset and palm trees. Now go experience and check out California.